Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Hazel Runs Her Mouth. It is Wednesday evening. It is 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It is 6 p.m. West Coast Time. And you know what else it is? It's give me more time.
If you really want more, scream it on louder. Is it on the floor? Watch me as I dance under the spotlight. Listen to the people screaming, I'm more and more. Cause I create the feeling that keep them coming back. Yeah, I create the feeling that keep them coming back. So captivating when I get it on the floor. Know y'all been patiently waiting. I know you need me, I can feel it. I'm a beast, I'm an animal. I'm that monster in the mirror. The headliner, finisher, I'm the closer, winner. That's when I'm
of Hazel Runs Her Mouth. We're doing a simulcast right now, which is us on Facebook, Twitch, and Blog Talk Radio. So you're going to see there's like, I'm kind of like all over the place because I've got one camera on me from one part of the living room. I have this camera on me for Facebook Live, and I'm also on the phone for Blog Talk Radio. So basically, Hazel Runs Her Mouth is a show that I do for, this is for those who are watching on Twitch and on blog, on Facebook Live, that I do every Wednesday evening. We pretty much cover any topic that we can possibly think of. It's an hour-long show, so I'm going to stay on for as long as I can before Facebook kicks me off for a copyright infringement in regards to my music. What are you doing?
I'm in the chair.
Well, can't you sit on the couch or get one from the kitchen? So this is basically how our shows are. We know what time they're supposed to go on, and we are never set up on time. And that is the honest truth. So right now, I'm just trying to see what. Oh, my God, dude. No, I'm saying right here. I'm all set up, and you ain't going to. Oh, dear God. But anyway, so this is basically our show for this evening. I talk about pretty much anything and everything that comes to mind. Right now, we are under, I'm going to talk a little bit about the whole face mask thing. Mm-hmm. We're under a state mandate that was issued by Governor Evers, I think is how you pronounce
yes.
it. Oops. Saying that, I got booted out of Facebook Live. I'm saying that we have to wear masks. And we're back. Yeah, saying that we have to wear masks. And there's a lot of people who are up in arms in regards to it. But a lot of cities have individually got their own mandates in regards to this as well that had already set up. Now, I know a lot of people are like, I'm not going to wear a mask. And I totally understand where they're coming from in regards to that. But I also think that there's like that little bit of selfishness as well that plays into it. The mask doesn't protect you from the germs other people have. It protects other people from the germs you have.
Some people don't understand.
Right. Well, and the people who don't understand it, you know, there's so many conspiracy theorists out there, and there's a lot of people who are on my Facebook who are conspiracy theorists. Now, I do understand that, you know, there are some people who can't wear face masks for legitimate reasons, like those who are asthmatic, bronchial issues, et cetera, breathing issues, certain forms of PTSD, et cetera. Aren't required to wear masks. And stores and businesses have to just take your word for it. But part of the issue is in regards to a lot of the things is that there's a lot of people who are just doing it for purely selfish reasons. And it makes me wonder, are they the same people who bitched and complained when it was law for seatbelts to be worn? And these are the people who are complaining when it was the law that you couldn't smoke in bars? Was it the same people who were complaining over open drink containers? And I mean, thing goes on and on and on. And the only thing I can say in regards to it is think about the family that you have. Are you going to be the ones who are going to be upset if you're standing over the grave of a family member? When he comes back, we'll talk to him about that, because Mike lost his grandma to it, and he knew that there was something wrong. He told us there was something wrong, if you remember. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we firsthand had to listen. I remember it. We went out grocery shopping that day, and while we were out, he was told that his grandma was bad. And when we got back, we unpacked the groceries. He went to his room for a bit. We heard his phone ring. And then I said to you right away, I said, his grandma's gone. And then we just heard that gut-wrenching scream from his bedroom.
Right.
And hi, Mindy. If you're willing to, like, listen to family members do that, or, you know, go through your list of family, who can you live without?
Oh, wow. But some people probably wouldn't need to do that, especially if they don't take this whole thing seriously.
Right, and you know, it's not like it's for every minute of every hour of your life. It's while you're grocery shopping. So what, an hour?
Right.
While you're around people briefly, 30 minutes?
I'm going to say that.
Total time we wore masks today when we were out, about an hour top.
Yeah.
And I will admit, I ordered a custom-made mask for Maddie's memory, and it said that it was lint-free. I've had more lint up my nose than I can even begin to explain.
Hmm.
It's been insane. I've got a couple of people who are messaging me on, because I can feel my phone vibrate, so I'm just going to see who they are. You know, so there's a lot of things that are going on that people just aren't, you know, it's a hoax to everybody. It's this, it's this, it's this. And yes, a lot of people die of the flu. I get that. But there's flu vaccines. Mm-hmm. There's treatments that you can take to help alleviate the flu. I get that there's a lot of people who die from colds and pneumonia and other illnesses. I totally understand that. But there's treatments for it. The problem with COVID is there is, at the moment, there is no known treatment for it. And that's why it is a pandemic and why it's a big issue. Because people don't know what causes it. They don't know what the treatment is for it. And as much as for a lot of people, I mean, for us, it's been a huge inconvenience. We haven't been able to do the things we wanted to do, haven't been able to work. Mike's still waiting for unemployment. He applied for unemployment, what, March 29th?
Right.
We're now in August, and it still hasn't been dealt with. So there's a huge inconvenience for a lot of people. We get that. But there are other countries that follow certain strict rules when it first broke out in their country. Australia and New Zealand, for example. South Korea. God, what was the other country? There's a couple of other countries as well. As soon as it was out there, they implemented changes right away. And that is what has kept their death rate low, has kept the recurrence rate low, has kept them being able to operate on a pretty decent system right now. So in my thoughts is you're able to do that if you're able to follow those rules and everything and just stop being selfish for a little bit. Just stop being selfish for a little bit. You know, we'd be way ahead of the curve than where we are now. But that's my thoughts in regards to that. For those of you who are looking at me on Facebook Live, hello. I'll say it again. We're doing a simulcast with Twitch, Facebook Live, and Blog Talk Radio. So I'm trying to see who's on here, but I'm not being able to. Oops. I'm trying to, because it should tell me who's looking. Okay, I want to get rid of it. Everyone got that one. Let me see. Nope, screwed that up. There we go, we're back. It's not showing me any of my messages that if they do get them, are popping up. And I do not know why. Let me see if I can do it this way. Hey, peeps. Let's see if that works. Okay, so I will see him. No one's messaging me. Nobody loves us. Anywho, as I say, we're doing this simulcast with Twitch, but live and Blog Talk Radio right now. I have my amazing co-host, Mr. Chocolate Thunder Artrell.
Oh,
what? Mike's having a cigarette right now, so he'll be back later. The dog is sleeping. Well, one of them is. Where's the other one? Oh, Mindy's sleeping. That's that black blob behind AJ. But, you know, going back to the whole COVID issue and everything, the lockdown, I know, has been such a hard thing for a lot of people. The isolation has been a killer. I will admit that. That has been one of the hardest things. We miss out on being able to do so much. Hey, it's Mike from wrestling. Hey! Please keep posting the updates of your son, Mike. I know that COVID's been affecting you guys down there. But your son is doing such amazing things football-wise, and it is so phenomenal for us to, you know, remember this kid who is now this grown, like, he's going to college soon, has these offers to play football, and has just grown up into such a fantastic kid. He really has. We're so proud of, you know, we're proud of him as well, because, you know, he was part of the wrestling family up here,
right.
And they moved to Florida, and it's a shame, because let's be honest, We always refer to Mike as Big Mike. You couldn't go to a wrestling show without him being there. And, you know, then he moved away. He moved to Florida. And his son has just exploded football-wise and sports-wise in general. I mean, if you want to meet a kid that's got skills, this is the kid to watch. If anybody can see Mike's name, it says Mike Marvin. Look for that last name in the next, I'll say, 5 years or so. He started senior year, then he's going to college and stuff. Look for that name, because I'm telling you now, this kid is so phenomenal. And just based on what we know about Mike and how, you know, family orientated their whole family is, his son does not have that ounce of arrogance that you get with a lot of really talented kids. He's just so, you know, down to earth. You know, you can see him and his dad have got that really good relationship. And let's be honest, his dad's is, although I can't even say his dad's his biggest fan, because we're not throwing mom in there. Because I can see Mike's wife doing what I did with Robert.
Oh, yeah.
When Robert started playing football, when he got his very first catch, Robert played wide receiver. When he got his very first catch, completely lost my mind, started jumping up and down, was waving my camera around my head, and then realized, oops, I was supposed to have taken photos of this. Yeah, I failed on that one. But also my friend Sharia is there. Say hi. I hope Pax is doing okay, because Pax is her dog.
Oh.
Her dog is that giant husky. Oh, he's so freaking adorable. He's like a giant fur coat. And he pulls the stupidest faces. I ain't even joking. She posts some of the best dog pictures, and this dog will, like, dig up her backyard and then pose with his tongue poking out as if to say, meh. Oh, my God, yes. Then we got my other friend, Michael. This is the one at the bottom here. I know him from the baby loss community. He sadly lost his daughter, Nevaeh, and it was her angelversary recently. Matthew and her are very close in the dates that they passed away. And I know it's tough for him. He, you know, him and his wife were actually blessed, his wife, Dina. They're actually blessed with a beautiful girl, who I'm pretty sure Mike's going to have his hands full with her. I'm telling you right now. She looks like all she has to do is smile at Daddy, and Daddy going to forgive her no matter what she does. You know how dads are with their daughters? All she has to do is that little smile. Same as mamas with their sons. I can't help it. My boy looks at me and smiles, and that's it. How's Wisconsin handling everything in this crazy world? Oh, God. Let me tell you.
I know we got to be
truthful. Okay. In all honesty, bunch of selfish assholes. Simple as that. I can't even put it any other way. Tony Evers, which is our governor, has implemented everybody has to mandatory wear face masks when they're out. And I understand there's a lot of people who can't wear them for health reasons. But you've got people who are deliberately walking up to people when they're asked to wear a mask and coughing at them and spitting at them. You've got people who are, like, being violent with store clerks and stuff who are just following the rules that they've been told to, you know, go by. And it's terrible. People are just, like, insane. There's been a lot of protests that are still going on. We'll change that a bit. The protests after George Scary, so one of them actually came so close to us it wasn't even funny. I filmed out the window that night that happened. And they're still having, I've got to put this on there. They're still having, we were still having protests, but the guy who was organizing them, Frank Nitti, is actually doing a walk from here to Washington. He apparently is in Chicago right now. He started it yesterday. So that's kind of taken some of the craziness away because, as much as he's doing the right thing, there's a lot of people who chose it as a reason to cause more problems. A lot of people are on, you know, are saying that the protesters and everything are the reason why COVID has spiked again here. But a lot of that, to me, has to do with Illinois stayed closed for longer than we did. So a lot of people from Illinois came up to Wisconsin. And as anyone who's been to Wisconsin knows, we got a lot of lakes, like little ones scattered here and there.
And rivers.
So a lot of them were getting across the border to Kenosha, which is literally, if you get to northern Illinois and you come into Wisconsin, you hit Kenosha. A lot of them were in there right away. And so there's been, you know, that type of thing. And now the mayor in Chicago has said, well, we don't want people from Wisconsin coming down here unless they've been quarantined for 2 weeks. Now we've got a whole host of people saying, well, you know, we don't want Illinois people up here and causing some issues there. And you know what, Michael, I do not blame you one little bit for not wanting to send your daughter to school. I think that, Libby, move. I think everybody has that right to choose whether they want to send their kids to school, because Robert's graduated, so I don't have to worry about that. But I do worry about him going to work. He actually lost his job for a couple of reasons about a month ago. I'm not going to go into all those reasons why right now, but female related. But while he was doing that, he was considered a central employee because he was packing medical supplies. And, you know, I had concerns over his health, his well-being, and how he was doing and everything. And it was just scary. It was scary. And I had about a 3-4 week period where I didn't see him. And that to me was heart-wrench, because all I wanted to do was give my son a hug. And I wasn't able to. And then one day I was just like, I can't do this. I've got to hug my son. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. And you know that when it comes to, oh, Lord, hold on. Okay, whoever just stood on the corner,
that
for me. And I actually agree with you, Michael. When it comes to, sorry, I'm trying to get the cord back in. When it comes to, you guys have to turn that down. You're not going to be able to hear me. When it comes to, like, sending your kids to school, I don't blame you one little bit. Because, let's be honest, in the first quarter of school, when school starts up again in September, every kid comes down with everything. Now, you know damn well, and I'm making a joke out of this slightly, but you know damn well you'll send your kids to school with one mask. They're going to come home with three masks belonging to other kids. And to be perfectly honest, I do not think it's fair that schools are being expected to reopen as quickly as they are. It should be down to parents' choice whether the kid has remote learning or in-school learning. But it also should be down to Mindy just went in my classes. It should also be down to the teachers and the teachers' association as to whether or not the school should open. The teachers are then going to be on the front lines yet again dealing with this. And then if, say, some kids come down with it, the schools are going to be blamed for it when, you know, there's so many people who are forcing the schools to reopen.
Right, which is a shame that, you know, well, I'm just glad they're doing something different here.
Well, yeah, here in Wisconsin, well, in Milwaukee Public Schools, which is the location that we would be in, if, actually, we sent our son to South Milwaukee, but that's a whole different story. But MPS schools have now decided that there's going to be remote learning for the first quarter at least of the school year. And they are actually providing all people who do not have kids with internet with mobile hotspots. That's all these kids have been playing all summer. Not going to keep them apart at school. Yeah, you're right as well. The whole social distancing. You said you've got kids who have been playing, you know, if you've been letting your kids play in outside and being with friends and stuff, you're not going to be able to do the social distancing in schools. It's just not going to happen. You may be able to for a certain degree with the older kids, but try telling a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old they can't hug their friends. You know little kids, hug their friends. Their friend, like, gets a boo-boo, I hug you, you know. They want to hug him, kiss him better, play games. Wow. Michael just said, we have to sign a waiver just in case our kids get sick so we can't sue the school. And I understand that, and to a certain degree I agree, but I also think that there's got to be, to me the schools cannot be held liable if they are being forced to reopen. That goes higher.
Right.
To me that goes a lot higher. And I think that it comes a point where, you know, you as a parent, you've got to make that decision. You seriously have to make that decision as to how comfortable you feel sending your kids back. Now, I understand there's a lot of up in the air in regards to people saying that, you know, a lot of people saying about, okay, what about these kids who are in abusive families and all this? Look, school's the only safe haven they've got. I totally understand that. And this is why there needs to be an easier way of reporting these issues and getting these issues out there. But, you know, who can we sue then? I think you've got to look as to who actually made the decision in regards to opening the schools. If it's the school district, check the paperwork they're making you sign. If it says you can't sue the school, excuse me, I get that. They may not say anything about not being able to sue the school district. Bear with me a second. I got to take a drink. So you may have some comeback in regards to the school district. Whoever's in charge of your county, if they're behind the decision making, you could even go as far as the state. I've seen here in Wisconsin that there's a lot of parents who are saying, okay, we can't go after the schools for reopening and kids getting sick. We're going to go over, you know, go higher up and higher up and higher up. So keep in mind as to who you can, you know, go to and have a real good look at the form they make you sign. But seriously, do what is right for you and your kid. Sadly, myself and Michael, you know, and you, all of us here, we know what it's like to lose somebody so deeply close to us. I sue the government. You can. Bunch of people are doing class action suits against the, you know, local officials and everything. I'm not saying go after the president, but I'm saying, you know, check out and see the people who are doing class action suits in your area in regards to these issues. And do what is right. At the end of the day, all we can do is what is right for us and our family. My choice would be if my son was in school that he wouldn't go to school. I would do the remote learning. I know enough people who could help him, because I sure as hell can't help him with math. I know a lot of people who could have helped him with math and science and other things. But you've got to do what you feel is right for you and your child. And trust me, if you decide you're keeping your kids home, I'll support you 100%. You want your kids back to school? I'll support you 100%. At the end of the day, as long as you've made the right decision for you, that's all anybody can ask. Because I would hate for anybody to go through right now what Mike went through. My friend Mike is sat right there. And as I mentioned earlier, he had to go through the fact that his grandma got sick and died of COVID. And he knew something was wrong, didn't you? When you spoke to her, you knew that, because he came out and he said, that's not grandma. And everybody was like, oh, she's okay. She just took this medication. She just took that. And he was put in a predicament where he had to bury his grandma. I don't want anybody. My wife just had to quit her job. Where was she working? I can't remember. But let us know where she was working. But, yeah, I mean, you've got to do what's for the safety of your family. We actually had a notice on the door of our front door here about, you know, knocking loudly, leaving packages and setting, you know, walking away, because my immune system is compromised because I have MS. People who are sick can actually, because I'm in remission, can force me out of remission. So I only stayed in contact with people who I knew were also self-quarantining, which was Maggie and Jim. But I spent a lot. Oh, she was at Dollar General. Do you know what? She probably did the right thing, because if the people who got into her Dollar General or anything like the assholes around here, excuse my language, she's better off being at home. Seriously, because we know how stupid people are in Dollar General.
Oh,
complete and utter asshat, seriously. But, okay, I'm going to see if I can quickly, no, I'm not even going to attempt to change songs because last time I did that, the whole thing went out. But what we're going to do now is we're going to change the subject away from that. So something that we were doing, hey, Jazzy, congratulations on being a doctor now. Dr. Jasmine Davis. See, those of you who don't know, yeah, I can understand that, having to have to quit to help with schoolwork. Well, you know, if you need any help, you can just shout out. I can help with a few things. But in regards to Jazzy, we're just going to change the subject. Jazzy does bring us on to wrestling. We met Jasmine, didn't we, through wrestling.
Yeah.
And Jazzy, I absolutely adore. She is one of the most wonderful people out there. Hi, Tina. And she has been working so hard with being a mom, doing what she has to make ends meet with her husband, completing school, and she's finally a doctor. She's a doctor. Oh, little Jazzy Poo. And that's the thing, the reason why I say oh, little Jazzy Poo is because she was just a kid, basically, when we first met her. And we saw her go through, like, you know, all these different things and scenarios and becoming a mom and all this lot. And it's a proud moment when you see her achieve all of this. I think it's wonderful. I'm so proud. It's not even funny. But it brings us up onto the whole wrestling thing. Those of you who don't know who are watching on Facebook Live right now, we're big wrestling fans. I don't know if you can see over here. Those are some of our wrestling belts right there. We actually have more over the other side. And I could actually take people on a tour of our wrestling belts, couldn't I? Let me just flick this around. You have to excuse the mess because I haven't cleaned up. I've been making marks all day. So I'm going to take you on a quick tour to show you the wrestling belt. Here we go. Here's some of our wrestling belts. We'll have to go down a bit more. It's a bit dark, so it's hard to see. And over here, go up here, up here. And scoot around and take you over the other side. Let's see, go past the turtles. And we have here. That's my one. And this one, as I say, it's a pretty dark, so it's really hard to really show them. The Funko Pops that you see in there are our actual wrestling Funko Pops. The rest of our Funko Pops, this is our thing over here. Hold on. So you'll be able to see, this is all of our craziness. This tells you what kind of family that we are. There you go. See, that's why we're friends, Mike. And then we have more. Look at these. Look all the way around here. Up there, Star Wars is me. Here we go. Turtles. Oh. Say hi, Mike. Say hi, AJ.
Hello.
Okay. Oh, that's I'm going to sit back down without killing the dog. Alrighty. So, we basically, you're big wrestling fans, that type of deal. And we were talking the other day, weren't we, about what were the wrestling fans such as WWE, or not just national ones, but local ones, have to do to bring fans back, didn't we?
And also for, like, the national ones to, like, improve in their ratings.
Right. So what was your thoughts in regards to it? What do you think that people need to do?
I think, like, the indie wrestling are doing quite well, and it's just a shame that they can't bring, you know, more people in. They only limit to a certain amount.
Right.
But, yeah, the indie wrestling is doing just fine.
Well, and I think some of it in regards to, like, national wrestling and stuff is we're at a kind of a standstill right now in regards to how limited they are for crowd-wise. I think once they're open up to say you can have any size crowd, it's going to get big real quick.
Right.
I mean, kudos to WWE and the other wrestling fans that somehow managed to keep things going during COVID, because that did give us some entertainment when we lost out on basketball and baseball and everything was orientated. Let's be perfectly honest. You could have only literally had some wrestling, and that would have to be with plexiglass between you and the other person. Oh, we should do it. Come on, thumb wrestling.
Oh,
okay, we're going to have first, the first Jones versus Jones thumb wrestling championship. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. I declare a thumb war. Come on in. No cheating. Stop cheating with your giant thumbs. 1, 2. Oh, close. Carol, no, you're cheating. 1, 2. One more. Ready? No. Your thumbs are too big. That's not fair. I should get 1, 2, 3. Yes. Hazel wins the first sub wrestling championship. Okay. Well, yeah, and see, I do what Mike says here. NASCAR can have fans. There was actually showing also not just NASCAR. What was the other thing? Oh my God.
Was it tennis?
No, bike racing.
And motocross.
Motocross. They also had fans as well. And I think it, to me, this would be my opinion. Doing an event that's outside. Then I think you should be able to have fans, because you then have the option to walk away and move away from people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest, if you're inside an arena, seating's normally numbered, that type of thing. But if you're in an outside event, I think fans should be allowed.
Right.
But I also think the same as what the schools are saying, if you're willing to go to an event, if you're not willing to mask yourself up, then you shouldn't be able to, you know, come back and say anything. But I can honestly say that round about my birthday, which is September time, there was always WWE in town. And it was either the month before or the month after, but it was always around my birthday, because that's how I got my photo with Vince, telling him it was my birthday. I got my photo with Vince from there. We'll go on about that later. But I miss out. I do miss out on those things, because it was so much fun. We would always end up at a hotel where the wrestlers stay and meet the wrestlers and everything.
Talk to friends.
Yeah. And I'm actually, that's one thing that I am missing, is having that interaction and everything. But I honestly think that once it's back open and running, there's not going to be too many issues in regards to pulling crowds. Because people, hold that, because I've got a drink, my clothes. People have got to, people are desperate for that connection with other people. And it's the same with all sports, because I miss basketball so freaking much. We were supposed to have gone to a couple of games. The Bucks, they are in the playoffs anyway, but that should have been done and all this lot by now.
Right.
And it wasn't, sadly. Baseball, the same thing. You know, that we're missing out on all of that. It's a killer. It is a killer.
Well,
but it's going to it's going to be interesting, because we're going to have basketball, baseball, and NFL all on at the same time.
Yeah, this is going to be strange.
But why start basketball season, baseball season, if tons of players have the virus, and even football players too? See, and that's what I agree with. Because didn't I mention to you that my thought was that baseball and NFL needs to do what the NBA did. The NBA got their players in early and quarantined them right away and tested them time leading up to the game.
Yeah.
Everybody who's involved in the NBA right now has been quarantined leading up to it. They've only been around each other. And so far, despite what the reports have said, no NBA player has tested positive. The players who tested positive before the season restarted. They tested positive and were quarantined away from other players who tested negative. So there isn't that, you know, crossover. NBA, to me, went all out to make sure that this was done as safely as possible. And to me, set the standards on how it should have been. To me, there was no reason. Like, if you can go to, if the NBA can go hold a Disney and say, we want to use your facilities, we want to use your hotel and your facilities to do our games, NFL and Major League Baseball should have worked out something else to do the same thing. Because as we said, there has been in the past enough Olympics where there's been Olympic stadiums with numerous fields and everything around that they could have done that. Just for those who are watching, if you hear me coughing and everything, it has nothing to do with COVID. It has to do with the fan is blowing on me. And when I do these radio shows and stuff, I get a tickly throat and the such like. So, alrighty, what time is it?
8:41.
My goodness. We've done 45 minutes of my radio show.
But yeah, like back to like wrestling, should we just say like which shows that probably like which way you want to go, like WWE, TNA, or wherever the case may be?
I don't give a shit about TNA, to be perfectly honest. You know that.
I mean Impact, but we'll,
same thing.
We'll start with Impact. I think the only issue with them is, like, I'm glad that they are showing Impact Wrestling on Twitch. And, of course, like, their pay-per-views, of course, right on Fight TV. But since they got this Impact Plus, like, you get all their pay-per-views on there. But I think, like, with shows and pay-per-view stuff, you get them, like, a week later. I think they should start doing, like, live, you know, like live pay-per-views on people that's paying for Impact Plus.
Like WWE does on the network.
Right. They need to do something with that. And they also need to, like, at least go to, like, a network that, you know, like with USA and all of them going to, that's a network where when you start, get the, like, smaller package that the channels are, right there, you can just watch them, whatever. But I think that's what Impact needs to do, you know, just increase ratings. They probably did, you know, whatever, increase ratings, especially if people get to watch on Twitch for free. So I don't know they get the numbers from streaming it or whatnot, but it's a good, it's like the same thing with, you know, you got WWE on Hulu the next day, or you got episodes from Raw or SmackDown on WWE like a month later. But like I said, with Impact, they just need to at least go to a different network.
Well, and that's the thing, okay? Impact is, you know, used to be a forefront runner against WWE. And as we said, when they went over with Hulk Hogan being their person in charge and he changed it from the octagonal ring to the square ring, that to me was when issues started to happen. It changed a great deal. And to me, they need to go back, you know, in order to catch up and, you know, be part of that whole scenario, they need to, you know, work on that.
Right.
But they haven't been bothered. You know, WWE has just shown, okay, night-night, Mike, nice talking to you. WWE has proven that, you know, there's no threat out there to them.
Mm-hmm.
So these other companies are forced into the fact, well, how do we get, you know, through this? How do we, you know, change things? And it's really hard. It really is hard for them.
Right. And I think, like, we're like AEW talking about, they did get, like, more, like, adults from 18 to 49 years old watching them more than Raw, SmackDown, NXT. Part of that is not really important. It's, like, really important is the ratings, whether they like to admit that or not.
Right. And, you know, part of the issue is that when it comes to the ratings and everything, if to me it feels like certain, like TNA, when it was still TNA, gave up. They gave up trying. They gave up trying to do what they needed to.
Right.
But, okay, what we're going to do quickly is I'm going to come off of Facebook Live. You can catch the rest of this on Blog Talk Radio or on Switch. So, but thank you those who tuned in, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Okay, we are still live on Blog Talk Radio.
And on Twitch.
I am going to hand this over to AJ to carry on. Oops, let me get out of there. I'm going to hand it over to AJ to carry on doing his thing. So you can have your say.
Okay, like, with the issue, like, with AEW and, like, with the, it's like they got everything right in hand, but I think, like, one, like, the issue would be is, like, and I know what some people were saying, like, why they hired so much ex-WWE talent and things like that. But I'm glad, like, the AEW is hiring some of the ones that, you know, that had never been, like, world champion, which they should do. I don't know. They probably just hired, like, maybe a few people that's already been champion, but I don't know, but it just needs to, like, just change that part for just having, you know, former wrestlers that have never been world champion and build them up, which what TNA used to do with, you know, with most of the ex-WWE stars. They build them up and turn them into, like, champion stuff that was good to build. But AEW is on the right network. I think maybe, like, within a few more months, I think they'll be able to compete, like, on Monday night. So, you know, if they want to watch Raw or they want to watch Dynamite, but like with TNT schedule, they have to do on Wednesdays. And for like NXT, they did, you know, premiere on Wednesdays in last September before TNA did in October. And they was doing like over 1 million views and stuff like that. A million ratings. With now you got AEW versus NXT. Well, with they're like with NXT, I don't know what they can do to like increase ratings. Like either they just move to a different day, or they're not like worried about the ratings. Like I don't know, but that's just a tough one.
Even though in his bio that I watched, they never mentioned this movie at all.
But like back to just NXT. I think they just need to keep doing what they're doing, and like maybe, like I said, 6 matches an episode, like they always do. It's like this is mainly like I'll say like a fan's dream with NXT. But it's just the ratings is just not connecting. So with NXT, I don't know what they could do to increase ratings, or they're just, only thing I can say, they probably just move to another time. And like I said with AEW, like, maybe they need to move to a different time too, because, like, as of late, they have been beating NXT in ratings, but you look at the ratings, it's like not even over a million ever since they, you know, both NXT and AEW been on the competition.
Do we have one?
What is that?
A giant dragon that breathes fog that you can put in your yard.
Ah.
I have it on our balcony.
Let's see with SmackDown. SmackDown's been like up and down, and I'm just saying it's because of they have, like, usually they'll have like an executive director, like it used to be Eric Bischoff, but I wouldn't say like since then, but just been like a while since they, you know, like increasing ratings ever since they had brand split. But like after that, the ratings, but if they want those like high ratings and things like that with SmackDown, it's like do more matches. Like in half of the time they bring up like, you know, call-ups from NXT to debut or whatever on there and built them up, which they do, but it's like they haven't do that because they, it's just like Vince McMahon, it just seems like he just stuck on trying to make SmackDown like Raw and not making SmackDown his own brand, did in the beginning. But I think the only problem with the like getting the ratings and stuff is like they just need to like be different. Start with the trying to be like Raw with the first 10 minutes of talking and kick off with the action. Like, what will I say? Interview and matches and stuff. And plus, it's like with WWE, they just play like too many commercials.
Yeah. They talk for too long as well.
Yeah, they do talk for too long and they play like too many commercials. Like no, it wasn't like that in the 90s. It wasn't like they like, maybe they, it'd be like one or two matches, they like go to commercial break, then it just plays on. It's just like almost every match is like a commercial break or something like that. It's like they got no money to, they have to put the commercials in just to make more money or something like that. I don't know. Part of me just don't get that. And like I said, SmackDown just needs to 2 hours, do 6 matches a night, and just try to be different. Like they did with afterwards with like talking smack and stuff like that afterwards, which was pretty good, but now they stopped that and now they just doing Raw talk after Raw, which part of me doesn't get. But also SmackDown just needs to be different. That's all it is. It's like they just need to be different.
I agree.
But I think that's like our take on, well, my take on what do those three brands need to do to increase ratings.
Okay, but let's turn it over because we've still got some time left. Let's turn it over to Mr. Encyclopedia over here. Because you being a wrestling fan and having more knowledge than some people out there, what do you think WWE needs to do to increase its fan base?
Back to the
league.
Sorry, Tim.
Because, as AJ just said, they take too long in talking. They don't need to do all that talking. What they need to do is like how they used to do it. Have an intro,
like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
And then you remember back in the day how they only had the two commentators. You know, let me go back until like the early 90s when Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan used to do the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's just say, let's go with Saturday Night's Main Event. The intro would come on. The camera would pan straight to Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon. They'd run down what was going to happen that night. They'd run down what they pretty much give you a rundown of what was going to happen that night. Less than 5 minutes, they were already in the ring doing wrestling. Now it comes on. They either have Drew McIntyre, who was the champion, or whoever the champion is over on SmackDown, and they come out and they cut a 30-minute promo. They ain't no need for all that. Just go straight to the first match.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you said, you know one thing that I do miss, and I used to love, and they could probably do this, they could probably bring this back, because they used to do this for a long time. The competitor that was in the ring, remember they used to have those little interviews in between the list cut screen with the interview,
yeah,
with the person having an interview in the middle of the corner? Bring that back. You want interview time, there's your way of doing it. You don't have to have a 30-minute thing to talk about something like a pay-per-view coming up or who you're going to be challenging. We already know this information. You only need 30 minutes to tell that. Like Drew McIntyre's next opponent is what? Randy Orton. He came out on Monday night and did like a 10-15 minutes on what he's going to do to Randy Orton at the next pay-per-view. We already know who you're facing. You don't have to dig, you don't have to drag on with what you're going to do to him. We already know what you're capable of. Okay, next thing they should change. As you said before, instead of having commercials during the match, let the match finish and then go to commercial.
Yeah. That's the one thing where it gets annoying, don't you agree?
Right.
Like you're in the middle of watching it and then you break for commercial. It's like, what the hell is going on?
It's like you can't even get into the matches anymore because, oh, commercial break. Like, seriously? It's just like, seriously.
Right. A lot of stuff that needs to change. We know it ain't going to happen. But, you know, it'd be nice to bring back some of that old school stuff that made wrestling popular to begin with.
Right.
But, I do agree what he has said, but, especially what he just brought up with the, you know, with the matches having a like commercial break during it, and they want to see what's going on,
right?
Like they don't want to, or did like what they do with NXT most of the time, have like one side commercials, the other side showing the match. Like SmackDown used to do that first, but
let the match finish itself and then go to commercial.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, yeah, they should do that.
But, by the time you cut back, like what we just missed. Oh, this is what happened during the commercial break.
Yeah, because they don't even show all of what happened during commercial break.
What? You show one big move and that's it. And then they have to tell you what actually happened. Instead of doing that, just let it run until the match is over.
Right.
That way you don't have to worry about missing music.
Okay, so the show's almost at an end.
Well, it's at an end, but still
going. Blog talk, the live feed. Can I finish what I'm saying without you interrupting?
No.
Obviously not. But we're going to carry on going.
okay, this is like a little bit overtime for us for the, God, what else they should like bring back. Let's see.
I've got a good one. Well, no, no, because they're doing that now. But he ain't got it. He ain't got it. Samoa Joe just ain't got it. See, he don't got it like the other people. You know, like how they back in the day, how they had. Yeah,
let's just use Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Ross had no knowledge of wrestling, but he had the knowledge of, like, all the people's accolades. Jerry Lee Lawler had all the wrestling knowledge. Now, I know they're doing that with Samoa Joe now, but they don't have. But the commentator team don't have the it factor it takes to be commentators. You know what I mean? Like, JR, he'd be like, let's say The Rock would come out. The Jim Ross would be like, you know, he graduated from such and such, and he started his career at, you know, this age, and he had accolades at this sport. And then Jerry Lawler would be like the one that would, since he's been in the ring, he'd be like, this move would do that, and it'd be good to see this move. Or, you know, he was the color commentary. He brought the comedy in. They don't have it like that no more.
And that's what we were saying the other day, weren't it, that how at the beginning of pay-per-views, they need to go back just to the 30-minute countdown. And because in that 30 minutes, they used to get you so freaking hyped for that pay-per-view.
Right.
And now it's like, some of them it's an hour long. Freaking WrestleMania is 2 hours long. And you're like this. It's like,
you'll be quiet.
Okay, I'll wake up now. No, go back to sleep. There is no need for it. None at all.
All you need to do is run down the matches, tell the storyline of how the matches, pretty much how they used to do back in the day. The countdown would start. They'd run down the match card, and they'd tell you the story of how the match came to be. As it stands right now, it's like they're not, it's like they don't even work on storylines right now.
Right.
It's like they're just, okay, we're going to put this person together and see how it works out. It's like they're not even trying anymore.
And do we also say as well that as much as some of the commentators are good for WWE, you haven't got that same oomph that the old ones have. Like, let's be honest. Vince can be a dick at times, but get him behind the microphone when it was coming up for get matches and stuff. Oh, he was so passionate.
I'm going to show you a prime example of Vince hyping you up for a match, for a pay-per-view. You don't even give a damn what the hell the rest of the match is about. It's the main event. I'll give you an example. I'm going to go straight to WrestleMania 7. I'll give you a prime example. And plus, that storyline was built. You know what they should, another thing they should go back to do is building storylines around realism.
Yeah.
Which I know they're trying to do, but.
Because the one I'm about to show you, WrestleMania 7. The main event was Hogan and Slaughter. Slaughter at that time, heel, was the champion. He pledged allegiance to Iraq. Hogan was the great American hero. Were we not in a war with Iraq at the time that happened?
Right.
Based on realism. Let's see, was it 9-1?
You're just going to start from the beginning?
Yeah, because listen to the intro at least. Here's the man is doing the intro.
World Wrestling Federation Champion!
You can't wait for this shit to take off. You
that's
saw how much feeling he had behind that one.
That's the thing. I think we
missed WrestleMania 6 is a good one, too. Watch WrestleMania 6.
We missed out on all of that. You know what I mean? We've got to have somebody with that passion and everything back in.
Oh, WrestleMania 6 is another good intro. That wasn't a challenge. This is another good intro.
Images begin to appear. Images are strange and powerful forces. One of all the forces of the universe, the two most powerful, Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. Prepare to destroy.
for the shit to happen. That's what you got the feeling behind. It's like now it's at the pre-show. Yeah, we're gonna be off in about 20 minutes. Well, we can kick off for more action.
Like,
you ain't impressing nobody with that.
Like, with the pre-show, like, if they're going to add, like, a match into it, maybe.
Ain't nobody got time for that, damn it. What's the feeling behind, with the, especially for WrestleMania? That's an hour-long kickoff show. Or two hours long. For what? What you need 2 hours for to run down the match card? Ain't nobody caring about the dark matches. We want to see the pay-per-view. That's what we came to watch.
Well, it ain't nothing wrong with, like, dark matches, but maybe just have, like, if you're going to do a half hour, do one, then just talk about, you know, like you said, like, talk about the matches and stuff.
They don't even need one. They know, because, hell, when they make up the matches for pay-per-views now, do they mention the dark match anywhere in that pay-per-view? No, not that we ain't there.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes
people,
they do.
People in the audience are there to see the dark matches. We don't care personally. We're waiting for the pay-per-view itself. That's why I wish they don't have it on the network, and I can't find any of them. But I'm glad now, since my mom and stepdad were together and he had a VCR, I'm glad now that she takes the countdowns that went with the pay-per-views. I wish they'd have it on here, but they ain't got them on here. If you actually see one of the old countdowns compared to what they have now, you'd be like, damn, I've missed that now back in the day. Like, because prime example, the one I can remember the best to me was SummerSlam 91. Correct me if I'm wrong, but one of my favorites was SummerSlam 91. It involved Big Boss Man in the Mouth. Now, the storyline was already good because Big Boss Man was from America. He was correctional officer, Law and Order Justice of the World Wrestling Federation. Mountie was a Canadian cop. And the storyline went, Mountie was trying to pretty much rub out Big Boss Man to prove to everybody that Big Boss Man was not the real cop of the WWE, but he was. So it culminated in a jailhouse match. Loser spends the night in jail. The storyline was great for the build-up. And then, not only was the storyline great, but in case you missed out on how the storyline was built, they show you clips and highlights of how it all culminated. And you couldn't wait to see that match because the storyline and the build-up to it was so good, you were like, man, can't wait for this to fire off. Like, for instance, same night, Hogan versus Earthquake. The match shouldn't have ended the way it did. That didn't prove anything. But the storyline was pretty much built Earthquake ended Hogan's career to where everybody thought that he was done. And the storyline was perfect. And they showed what led up to it, how it and where it culminated at. You couldn't wait to see the matches. Now it's like, as a pre-show that they call the countdown pre-show that they call it now, they barely talk about the matches whatsoever. And if they do, it's like they're just having a normal conversation. It's like, okay, what do you think is going to happen tonight in this match? Or this is how this match all. They don't even tell you. They don't tell you the build up to the match. They don't even tell you how the storyline came to be. They just ask each other like in their normal conversation, like an everyday conversation. Okay, in this match, we have Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre is the WWE champion. How do you think that Drew should go into this match with Randy Orton? They having a match tonight, really? Like, why are they having a match? You know, what took place to make this match possible?
Especially if people didn't see Raw for, like, a couple of weeks.
You know, what, like, why are they even wrestling? Like, what's the story? What build, like, what's the build-up behind it? What made this match possible? Why are they having this match? Instead of just asking those five people sitting around a table, what do you think is going to happen in this match, why not tell the fans at home who don't have WWE Network or who didn't see, like you say, Raw or SmackDown throughout the week, why not tell them why this match came to be?
why is Randy Orton competing for the title? What led up to them going against each other instead
right.
of just asking who is going up top, who in this match? You know, it's like, okay, I guess Drew McIntyre is going to win. He's the champion. He's been on a roll. But why are they going against each other? They don't say that. They just like,
exactly.
who's going to win? Okay, what if I haven't, like you said, what if I haven't been watching wrestling for a week and I'm just now catching the pay-per-view?
Some people are.
What happened?
Stop watching it, then, like, one day, like, years or months later, they decide, okay, let's check out the pay-per-view. This was one of my favorite pay-per-views.
You know, they're like, okay, what led up to this? Why is it that? Wait, the old pay-per-view, they tell you why. They give you, like, probably a 5 minutes, like a 2 or 3 minute highlight of what this match is going to be and why it's that way and what's the lead up. Now they don't do that. You're like, okay, you're just going to go in thinking, heck, I guess Drew McIntyre is going to win. It's been this long. He still got the title. Ain't nobody beat him. But why is he going against this person? What led up to this? You know, why is this match going to be so good compared to the rest of them? You know, in a storyline, you can tell a hell of a storyline and make the match people see it and be like, damn, this is going to be a hell of a fine match. But now they don't do that. They just ask your opinion. 5, 6 people, legends sitting around the table. Usually 3 of them are legends. And they're just asking each other who's going to win. Like, it's no build-up. Like, why are they going against each other? Why is this match going to be so good? Why is it going to be so competitive?
A prime example of what you said about the lead-up, you'd be able to catch up. Was when I started back watching wrestling, it had been a long time. And my first pay-per-view that I saw when I started watching wrestling again was Royal Rumble.
Right.
And all I did was ask you a few questions, and you were like, well, they'll tell you what you missed out on. And literally within that pay-per-view, I knew what was going on. But from there to now, the commentary and lead-up has changed so dramatically. That it's just like, oh, these two wrestlers are fighting each other. Why are they fighting each other? I don't know.
That's a good point.
They don't give you nothing to work with. They just throw the pay-per-view on and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
They don't tell you why these people are battling. They don't tell you what for. Like, even if it's a title match, okay, you know the wrestler for the title, but why? What made this person so... What did the heel do that made the baby face so irritated or so aggravated that he gave him a title shot? What's this about? Like, for instance, when same pay-per-view, I was talking about SummerSlam 1991. Ultimate Warrior with the champion side. He had just became champion. His opponent was Rash or Rick Rude. Rick Rude was the number one contender. But why was he the number one contender? First of all, he had outranked everybody else. And he is the only person in history, even though he cheated to do it, he was the only person in history at that time that actually held a victory over the Ultimate Warrior.
Well, yeah, that would make much sense if they would have,
They don't do that now. Randy Orton just got dropped into a title match. Why? What did he do?
Well, mainly, like we can see why, but they do need to, where they do the pre-show, they need to, like, explain why. Because not everybody. I'm just saying, like, not everybody is going to get it that, he's just in there or whatever. But the reason for Randy Orton being in there, he's just.
He did a damn thing. What? He took out Edge. Okay, you ran with that for about 2 weeks. Then he took out Christian, who wasn't even medically cleared. So, yeah, that ain't no kind of victory because you just beat somebody that wasn't even medically cleared to wrestle anyway.
Then he beat Big Show.
Then he took out the Big Show. Big Show had just got back. He ain't had no momentum behind him anyway. So what files you to be the next person in line to have a title match?
Because, like, Drew McIntyre, he welcomes all challengers, and Randy Orton challenged him. So
that'd be like them just throwing R-Truth in the match. Like, oh, yeah, it'd be funny, but why?
But
what did he do?
The point is, they need to say that's the reason.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, they don't say that. As Mike said, they just sit there and say, well, who do you think is going to win this one? And why is this person this one? And then they'll talk for like 20, 30 minutes about their past and who they wrestled before and everything. And then
they
get to the point as to why they wrestled.
And then they throw promos into the conversation.
Yeah, then they'll show matches of you know, them facing other people and everything.
No, but what I mean by that, I don't mean to catch up, but what I mean by that is like, okay, they'll say who they think is going to win. And then all of a sudden, well, join us tomorrow night on Raw for all the results of tonight's match. The pay-per-view ain't even started yet.
Yep.
But y'all still on the countdown, and you're talking about something that's going to happen tomorrow night based on a pay-per-view that has not even took place yet. Don't forget to join us tomorrow night on Raw for all the results of this pay-per-view. And check us out on Friday night SmackDown. Like, what the fuck, for what?
Well,
that view ain't even happened yet.
Well, that part I can understand because, just like we said, like, people like didn't watch more Raw or SmackDown for like maybe a week or months. There could be people that just don't watch like Raw or SmackDown at all or just don't watch the pay-per-views, but they can tune in to Raw. Just,
yeah, but
you can't tell them to come back to watch Monday Night Raw to get all of the results for the pay-per-view.
It hasn't even started yet. The first match on the pay-per-view has not even come on yet. I can see it's like how they used to do it, you know, pay-per-view in, and they're showing the credits like, and don't forget to catch us tomorrow night on Raw for all the results of tonight's pay-per-view. Why throw it in at the beginning of the pay-per-view when it hasn't even started yet?
Okay, yeah, I get it. I screwed that up.
Like, if SmackDown had their own pay-per-view, I'm pretty sure it'd be wise if you plug in SmackDown coming on that week to show you tonight, to show you the results of what happened tonight, even though you just saw, you know, just in case you missed something, they're going to tell you on SmackDown. You don't have to plug that into the pay-per-view when it hasn't even happened yet.
Right.
That'd be like them, let's just say back in the Attitude Era when the Austin and Man feud was going on. Now, St. Valentine's Day Massacre is when Austin and McMahon finally went against each other in an actual match. That'd have been like them at the very beginning of the pay-per-view at the free-for-all, be like, and don't forget to join us tomorrow night on Raw to see what happened between Austin and McMahon. So you're going to tell me to watch Raw, or you're going to plug in Raw before the match even starts? You're going to plug in your show that comes on tomorrow night to let me know something that's going to happen tonight that hasn't even happened yet?
What if they – oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. Like, what if they still do that, but they talk about, like, a match that's going to happen the next night or something like that?
Tell them when the show comes on.
But it wouldn't be too bad if they said, you know, and in regards to, say, the Drew McIntyre match that's coming out, if it showed the ongoing feud between, say, Drew and Randy Orton, if they said, you know, like, continuing their feud for a Monday Night Raw, but they don't do that. They just announce that they see the results tomorrow.
Plug in the match for the show. When the show comes on, tell people that's what's going to happen. Don't tell them the night beforehand, before it even happens. So you're back, even, like I said, back in the day when the show came on, like Saturday Night's Main Event Superstar, that's when they tell you what the match is going to be. Like, don't bring it up during the pay-per-view because it hasn't happened yet. Like, when Monday Night Raw comes on, like, tonight on Monday Night Raw, we're going to have this match, and this match. You don't have to tell them during the pay-per-view. That's not what they're interested in. They're interested in what's going to happen that night. Not the night after, but that night. If they're going to continue the storyline, plug it into when they, after the intro of the show comes on, like they used to do.
I mean, they could tell that. The only time I think that they should be mentioning, you know, perhaps Monday Night Raw or SmackDown is when they say, for example, is Randy Orton going to keep the promise that he made last Monday on Raw?
Right, so what you thinking about they be plugging the
but
matches?
Say that.
Oh, no,
Like, what if they, you know, like they do now, like, plug it, like, days before about the matches from Raw or SmackDown and stuff like that?
Is this going on about the matches from Raw or SmackDown being involved in the pay-per-view? That's one thing. But that's not what we're saying about.
No, I'm not saying, like, being involved. Just saying that, like, days before, like, what they do. You may, like, post it online, like, over the weekend, like, this match is going to happen.
So for Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, for that.
That's fine. We're saying don't announce it during the pay-per-view. No one gives a shit during the pay-per-view. We're there to watch the pay-per-view, and the match is for the pay-per-view.
We don't give a damn what's going to happen the next night unless it's something.
That Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre are going to face each other again on Monday Night Raw when they haven't even faced each other on the pay-per-view yet.
Gotcha. They just had like a lot of stuff, like posting up and stuff. But I get it during the pay-per-view. But I'm just saying,
if you're posting up saying, oh, this Monday or Monday Night Raw, they're gonna have this match versus this match. That's fine, because it's not during a pay-per-view. We're saying you hear the commentators during a freaking pay-per-view. Say, oh, this match is good, you know, see the results on Monday Night Raw. Watch Monday Night Raw for the match, but, you know, another match between this person and this person. And we haven't even got the pay-per-view yet. That's what we're saying.
Wait, don't plug in the show for next night when this night isn't
even
done. And it's and not even that. Like, it's during the countdown. It's not even during the pay-per-view itself. It's like, why are you plugging in for tomorrow night during the countdown when, like we just said, this night hasn't even happened yet? Watch any other old-school pay-per-view and tell me if they mentioned any of the other shows that they had going on at the same time, if they mentioned it during the pay-per-view.
You're right, they haven't. They'll just end up mentioning the next pay-per-view.
Or they'll mention the show after the pay-per-view, like when Nitro and Raw was coming on back-to-back.
Uh-huh.
After the pay-per-view, because you know it was going to be Monday, after the pay-per-view, when the pay-per-view credits were rolling or they were showing the little logo on the bottom of the screen,
uh-huh,
that's when they tell you to tune in the next night to see the continuation. But they don't tell you during the countdown or during the pay-per-view to watch the next night when that night of the pay-per-view hasn't even ended yet.
Right.
That's what we're saying.
Gotcha.
Like, we'd be in the middle of the match commentating, and all of a sudden, oh, yeah, don't forget to join us tomorrow night on Nitro. Motherfucker, for what? What's going to happen on Nitro? This night ain't even over with, so why would I? What am I going to be tuning in for Nitro for? What's going on Nitro? That's pretty much telling me what's going to happen at the end of the pay-per-view. If you're so hyped up on me watching Nitro, something is going to happen at the end of this pay-per-view. Ain't no surprise behind that, because obviously you want us to tune in tomorrow night for something that has not happened yet. If you want me to be surprised, don't mention the next night when that night is not even over yet. Like, for instance, when the NWO first kicked off, at the end of the pay-per-view, like, you'd be hoping that the NWO is going to lose. But yet somehow they come from behind to win, and they win. And then tomorrow night, you hear like Eric Bischoff, don't forget to join tomorrow night on Nitro, fans, to see what's going to happen next or something like that, you know, with continuation. They don't mention it during the pay-per-view. They don't mention it during the countdown. They tell you at the end of the pay-per-view to check out what's going to happen tomorrow night. Wait until the end of the pay-per-view to tell me to watch what's going to come on next. Not during it or before it. Like, leave me with some kind of surprise. If you're that hell bit on me watching your show that's coming on tomorrow night, then something's going to happen tonight that's going to make me want to watch it. But you've already told me because you're telling me to watch it tomorrow night.
Okay. No, I get it. But I think what y'all saying that that's one of the reasons why the surprises in wrestling shows like that is gone.
As he said before, the long ass countdown. We don't need a free show.
Especially if you only gonna do like
treat like a pay-per-view, like a regular Raw or something like that.
You're pretty much talking about the pre-show like it's the day, like it's the pay-per-view. Like during the pre-show, they don't tell you what match is going to happen. You already know what match is going to happen. But
right.
During the pre-show, they still hell bent on commentating what's going on the ring that they don't have, that they don't tell you why the matches you're going to see tonight are on the pay-per-view. Well, you know why, but, you know, like we said back in the day, they used to give you a rundown of the matches, why this match is going to take place, and then the match happens. But during the pre-show, they got people in the ring already to peek. Like, this has nothing to do with the pay-per-view. Why are you, instead of commentating on what they're doing, why not tell me why this match at the pay-per-view is going to happen? What led up to it? Like I said before, what led up to it? What's the storyline behind it? Why is this happening? Instead of having two people in the ring that nobody give a damn about, because obviously you ain't that great because you ain't on the pay-per-view. Instead of commentating on that, why not tell me what's the storyline? Like we said, in case you missed it, what led up to this match? Why is this match happening? You don't need three-fold matches during the pre-show. You don't need a pre-show at all. All you need is a 30-minute countdown like you used to do. That was it. You don't need that else. You don't need to have five, six people sitting around a table asking each other who's going to win that match. What if I don't know anything about this match? Why is this match happening? You got to draw the fans in to let them know like they have not seen what has been going on for the past couple of weeks.
Don't you agree that when before pay-per-view in the park, it almost sounded like a movie trailer leading up to it.
Yep. Right.
Yeah,
but for people that still, because I see a few of y'all still watching on Twitch, but this is my advice to y'all from what they just said. Like, pay attention to the pre-show and just watch and just pay attention to everything they say. Then you give your opinion out, like, if you agree what they said, you caught on with, like, what they need to do with the pre-show and stuff like that, besides, like, just not talking about it or what Mike was saying, like, why they're fighting or anything like that.
If you want to know what we are talking about, for those of you that grew up in the early 90s, if you want to know what I'm referring to, watch a pre-show in WWE right now, or when this Sunday, or 2 weeks from now, or when is SummerSlam next week?
Let's see. Sunday the 23rd.
So that's about two weeks. Okay. Watch that pre-show, and as AJ said, so pay attention to it. Then what I want you to do, if you have any parents who are wrestling fans, and they have a VCR, and they have any old-school wrestling, please go find one of the old-school wrestling tapes, put it in the VCR, and watch the countdown. You would see a dramatic difference.
Well, go to WWE Network.
They don't have countdowns at WWE Network.
They
don't
put the countdowns on that?
Mm-hmm. Countdown's gone.
Oh, no.
They got for every other match for since they started the network, but not for the past ones.
They don't have no countdowns on there at all. I've looked. You on YouTube, but that's about it. But if you have to, YouTube would be your second option. But if you had any parents that are wrestling fans and they have any old school wrestling tapes, please, I urge you to watch one of them from the very beginning. Luckily, they have the countdowns. If you see the countdowns of the past compared to now, it'll be a whole different experience.
Yep.
You would see exactly what we are referring to. Like, yep, that they ain't lying. That's exactly how they used to do it.
Yep.
Instead of having 2 hours talking about what's going on in the ring, they will have 30 minutes of what the matches are, why this match came to be, and why you don't want to miss out on it. And it makes you want to watch it that much more.
Do you think that's probably part of the reason why WWE lost like half their fans?
Yeah.
That and because their storylines ain't all that great anymore anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know who's writing this stuff, but they ain't doing it the right way.
Yeah.
They ain't doing it the right way. ever since they went back to the PG rating, it's like their storylines are like garbage. It's like there's no real reason to even have the storylines that they have right now. The only one of the most heated storyline right now on Raw is Asuka and Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
That's sad. When your demons are outshining your champions because of poor writing, that's sad.
And it's like, I like Drew McIntyre being champion. Don't get me wrong when I say this. But there's so many things they could have done with him and the wrestlers who are still there that they haven't.
What you think they need to do?
Well, the whole story goes, the legend killer.
Yeah, yeah, Randy Orton, yeah.
Randy Orton and everything. Playing that up so much more. Instead, they just keep going on about how Drew McIntyre got fired at one point. And, you know, Randy Orton this and Randy Orton that. And it's just, it's ridiculous, to be honest with you. It's like you could have made a really good story on it. And I understand Drew was like making it an open challenge to anybody who wants the belt, but
it's an open challenge to somebody that ain't had a title shot.
Yeah, it's to me it's just not working.
And ain't really nobody on Raw to carry it.
No.
Drew McIntyre is carrying that pretty much carrying that show by himself.
Yeah.
You name one other person besides Randy Orton on Raw that you would think deserves a world title shot.
No,
that's on there right now.
The only other person would be giving it back to Tulsi, but Tulsi's injured, so.
Because Drew McIntyre has run roughshod on everybody that you would think would be a contender to that title. There ain't nobody else. Edge is injured. Christian can't wrestle. Big Show is somewhere. And mind you, Drew McIntyre beat Big Show for after he beat Brock Lesnar. There ain't nobody else.
Well, Strong was the only other person I could think.
Yeah, he's already got the Universal Champion
right
now.
I'm saying, apart from that, if...
What about Bobby? Go ahead.
No, it's like what you said.
I'll say, what about Bobby Lashley?
No.
He ain't up there. The reason why he's not up there is because they paid him an MVP. I feel that brought him down because he's not really doing anything. He's just helping MVP win matches.
Yeah.
He's not really doing anything.
What do you think of Shane McMahon's fight club?
It's different, and I say it's okay, but I'm just going to look, like, give me, like, a couple of weeks to see more and more of it and
yeah,
how it develops.
You really can't judge that yet. You got to see what's going to come up.
Okay, what do you think of the concept?
The concept is different, and it's a good concept because they need to change something and make it, like, more interesting.
Right.
And they brought this in, which I know there's half of the people that I was reading on don't like it, and there's some people that do.
Well, that's like everything.
Like I said,
right.
We're going to have to see how that pans out. You really can't tell within the first show.
I will say this. I do like Shane in that type of capacity when he goes back to being an owner and everything.
Right.
Like, I do like Shane in that owner capacity because he does have this element of pride about him. You know, like, you know, I'm a part of it.
Right.
When he goes into character, then I'm not so much a big fan of him.
No, yeah, I get what you're saying. But just like I said about the underground, like, give me a couple of weeks.
I'll address it
after
summer. Okay. And then you can tell them how garbage it is.
Good or bad, whatever the case may be. But for the viewers that's on there, just type in like what you think about the Underground Fight Club. We will read it on there on Twitch and see what you guys think about it.
I apologize for those who can hear me. I wanted to get these face masks.
But I haven't seen, only seen like WWE pay-per-view, the last pay-per-view. I've seen like something different, but I did saw some of Slammiversary, but not all of it. So I can't say like how they do their like pre-show or whatever the case may be. So
you know something else that WWE needs to stop doing? I didn't realize this.
What's that?
Stop having 2 or 3 pay-per-views a month.
I used to love that.
No, because then they ain't giving them enough time to make a storyline.
Well, I know how they can do it. Like, if it was like the brand pay-per-view, I can understand them doing 2 of them. But if you're going to do like both, like a pay-per-view for combined both shows and stuff like that, like what you do with the shows, whatever, get one, keep on going on SmackDown, like put half of the fuse on that, one pay-per-view, then put the other half on the next pay-per-view if they're going to do it like 2 of them, just like they're doing this month. We're having 2 pay-per-views like a week apart from each other.
That's crazy. They ain't enough time to run a storyline that way. You can't get a good storyline on only 2 weeks of work. You ain't got to... This is one thing that WWE did back in the day. They had what? 1 pay-per-view every 2 months. And it was great because they had time to write the storyline and to make the storyline build. As it stands now, right after SummerSlam, probably like 2 weeks later, they're going to have another pay-per-view. Like, you ain't giving us no time to set this up.
Well, it'll be a week later.
A week later, they got another pay-per-view?
Yeah.
They've already had 2 pay-per-views this month alone. 3, actually. No, August came in. Last month, they had like 3 pay-per-views in 1 month. They had an NXT pay-per-view. Well, I can't say NXT because that's kind of an off-brand. But they had about 2 pay-per-views in that 1 month.
This month they would have NXT too, like the day before SummerSlam.
But I can't even say anything about NXT because NXT is trying to like break away from not even being...
It's trying to be its own thing.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Right.
And the sad part about it is NXT is killing it in the ratings compared to Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
I haven't even watched NXT yet, but I can't say I haven't. I've seen it in the past, but from what they do in the past, it's like they really are, like, trying on it. It seems like once they get switched over to the main roster, they just cut that character down. Look at Ricochet. He was the shit in NXT. Getting over to Raw and SmackDown, you barely see it.
Yep, you blame Vince McMahon for that. Triple H running NXT and
like, why
Vince McMahon
would you
running both shows.
Characters up to bring them to the main roster and then just cut their legs up from under.
Like Vince McMahon, it's like he like when Paul Heyman was running Raw, like Ricochet was one of the guys he wanted to get pushed. Then as soon as they got rid of Paul Heyman for doing like the Raw executive director, like, Vince took back in charge and just like, no, I'm not interested in him anymore. No, yeah. Cut him down.
No, that
and
first
it was a shame because Paul Heyman and that lot have been executive producers the
Pyro and... Line, was not one Paul Heyman. When we found out that Paul Heyman was running Raw, did that Raw not, the was not Raw not the motherfucker.
Yeah.
That was fucking awesome. First night on Raw, Paul Heyman running, hell, Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley went through the damn wall.
Yeah.
They went through the electric stage wall. You can't get no better than that. And then all of a sudden, a week later, it was right back to the watered-down Monday Night Raw that had been going on for the last 4 or 5 years. No, the last couple of months. It went back to no pyro, no excitement.
This has got out of touch as to what the fans want and need. You know, it's time to hand the reins over. And I think Triple H, as much as I don't like him, has proven himself with NXT.
Mm-hmm.
That he knows how to run a company.
Yeah, and NXT over to Shawn Michaels. He's working with the team. Let Triple H take over Raw.
They're both all in SmackDown.
No, let Linda take over SmackDown. She's a better fucking bitch. She was doing better business than this was at one point in time.
Yeah, she's staying away from WWE and do politics.
Well, hell, let her run for president. We need a few men.
I don't know about that.
Because right now, anybody in the White House is better than Donald Trump. And yes, I said. Want to make America great again? Get Trump out of office.
To begin with. Tuba, we're going to end it from here, and as my phone from Twitch is dying, so Rizzo runs her mouth. We'll be back next week, but is she going to do the same format with YouTube and not YouTube, but Facebook and maybe Twitch? But we also will be back on here this Monday. On Blog Talk Radio and Twitch, just to talk about, wrestling and stuff like that.
Now,
so,
you see what you just did?
What?
You mentioned Twitch after the show. It wasn't done. It wasn't at the beginning.
No, I get what you're saying. So, for all y'all... Well, y'all probably going to be re-watching, well, re-listening to this anyway, because we're not live on Blog Talk. But anyways, tune in next Monday for Wrestling Fan Speak Out's Aftermath. Come on right after Raw, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. So please check us out. And goodbye, everyone, from on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.